Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So when you hear Brian Daboll getting a little bit annoyed with the media and staring down Pat Leonard after Pat Leonard talks about his job security and some of the things that we've seen from Brian Daboll this year, coupled with the losing, do you feel like that attitude towards the media and having that edge and that chip on your shoulder, you know, when you're losing, when you're John Mara, you look at that, do you like it? Do you not like it? Because I happen to think that when Brian Daboll still has that edge and he's throwing down his headset after they lose and he's angry about it and the post-game media session's a little contentious, I like that stuff. But I wonder, especially with all the changes that have gone on with the Giants, that John Mara sees a guy who is really annoyed after the team loses. He's contentious with the media. He's also someone that was yelling at the coordinators and the players so much that Joe Shane had to get on a headset last year. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah, I understand.
To listen,
you know, two of the most successful coaches in Giant history, Tom Coughlin and Bill Parcells, had the same intensity.
Sure.
They had the same intensity.
They also won.
That's the difference here now. But they had the same intensity. Hey, look, 2007, everybody wanted Eli and Tom Coughlin out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, they won on that magical run to the Super Bowl, and it changed everything, and it changed their careers, and they left a legacy behind. That's going to be very hard to duplicate. So, having the passion from the head coach is an important thing. You know, Brian is an old-school head coach. You know, he's not one of these new-fangled coaches, that's going to be tiptoeing around the players. He's going to coach them hard. He's going to have reactions. He's going to be emotional. Rob Saleh is the opposite of that. Rob never got mad, and Rob never gets mad, you know, and he tries to explain his way out of things, which is fine. And even you told him that you felt like he just talks too much, which is the opposite of what Brian Daboll is doing here. Brian Daboll is doesn't like losing, hates losing. They all do. Everybody shows them, you know, their emotions differently. But I would think if you're an owner, I want my coach to be emotional. I want him holding people accountable. I want him coaching hard. It may not work as much as it did back in the days of Bill Parcells. And it started to change, if you remember, when the team had a meeting and they told Tom Coughlin he had to back off. You remember that whole thing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, we are in a different time and a different age with different players, you know, who get triggered for different things. And everybody, like, when I listen to Dan Campbell, I lost the game because of my stupid clock management. It had nothing to do with your team being in the red zone six times and not coming away with a touchdown.
Yeah.
I mean, like, these coaches take it all on themselves because they want to absolve the players.
But we like accountability, you know?
Well, but they want to absolve the players of any accountability whatsoever. And they don't, I guess, also because I would think the coaches are trying to protect their players from the onslaught of social media intensity.
Okay.
I think that's part of it. But I hate when coaches blame themselves. I mean,
really?
I do.
But what do you want
him
to do? Go out there and just be like, this guy stinks, that guy stinks?
No. I mean, if a coach makes a mistake, yeah, own up to the mistake. But it's not like, oh, you lost the game because you mishandled the clock at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
You had a whole second half to win the game. That mistake that maybe you made as a coach is just as bad as the guy that's playing right tackle and stepped the wrong way six different times in a game and cost his quarterback, you know, precious time in the pocket.
Right, and the coach knows that, and guys like you who played the game know that, but you also can't go up there and not take responsibility because that's what you need to do as a head coach. Buck stops with you. You say that. You say the right things. You get out of the press room without creating unnecessary headlines, and you go on to the next day.
Now, I will say this. Listening to Nick Sirianni last night after the game, which is fine. You know, the question was about who called the play and who's the offense coordinator. He goes, well, you know, we know who the offense coordinator is. You know, I don't know, what are you trying to start here?
Yeah, he goes, Kellen Moore's the offense coordinator. Yeah, Kellen Moore's the plays if you want to stir that up. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, I don't know if Nick Sirianni wanted Kellen Moore there in the first place. I have no idea.
Probably not. I mean, he essentially was able to keep his job because he said yes to getting two different coordinators and trying to change things up.
And you want to know something? I actually, there'll be people that don't like that last call with Saquon Barkley. I love it. I love it. It's gutsy, and it's putting the ball in the hands of your two best playmakers, saying go win the game. And one of those playmakers couldn't win the game. But, you know, that's why they traded for him, or that's why they signed him as a free agent. Was because supposedly he's a game breaker and a gold jacket guy.
Yeah.
And the gold jacket guy's got to make the catch.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like this was some crazy acrobatic, you know, two defenders hanging on your catch either.
No, he was wide open. It hit him right in the hands, and he would have easily made the first down.
Yep.
I mean, you can't throw a ball any better than that. You can't. I mean, yeah. Maybe Daniel Jones could to Malik Nabers because that hit him right in the chest.
Let's go to Vinny, who's calling from Staten Island. What's going on, Vinny?
What's going on, Gio? I just want to correct you before. You had said Giants done nothing with Saquon Barkley since he's been here. Then in another breath, you said they made the 2022 divisional round. I just want to know if the gap.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, though, and I said that they stunk with Saquon Barkley, and I will stand by that. Their record when Saquon Barkley was a Giant was 34-64. 34-64-1. 20 games under 500. So, yeah, they had an outlier year in 2022.
But he only played in 74 games for the Giants.
Yeah, so he missed 24 games for them. So, in 6 years, an average of 4 games per year. So yeah, I mean, I don't think that's being hypocritical. Yes, the Giants did have that outlier year, but in the 6 years that he was here, they sucked, Vinny. So, it's not like you're losing Saquon Barkley, you know, one of the great players in Giants history that carried them to the postseason and brought them to the championship game and won an NFC championship game. None of that happened. They had one outlier year. He had a good rookie season. He had a good 2022. But the Giants were 20 games under 500 in the 6 years that he was here. Let's go to Abel in Louisiana. What's going on, Abel?
Hey, good morning, guys. I respect y'all immensely. I'm an Eagles fan. Yeah, I'm an Eagles fan in Louisiana. So, and I had a problem with the call and here's why. Because it's 3rd and 3. You run the ball, you knock out 40 seconds off the clock. And say it's 4th and 1. You run the push, and you know, we got a high percentage in that, and they never get the ball back. So that's my only issue about that, but respectfully, of course.
No, I understand that. Everybody's going to look at it differently. Everybody's going to say what they believe is, you know, their way of doing things, especially when the play itself that was called doesn't work. But it doesn't work not because the other team had it covered. It didn't work because your best player just didn't do what he was supposed to do. I don't, you know, and that happens throughout the game, and it comes down to one play, and I love the aggressive nature of it, and that's really what the NFL is these days.
Yeah. Yeah, I
know it sucks.
That.
I know it sucks. And when you when it doesn't work, Abel, and you say, well, they should have done this because this didn't work. That's what we all do. That's what's called Monday morning quarterbacking.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's Tuesday morning.
Yes, that's right. After a Monday night game. So, yeah.
They called the play for their two best players.
And the play call worked.
It was wide open.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was gutsy. Like, you know, and if the play is completed and it's a first down, I could hear Troy Aikman now. That's a gutsy call by Kellen Moore. That's why he's here.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't even remember. I was asleep by the time that I don't even know what they said on the broadcast. What did they say on the broadcast? You know? You remember?
Yeah, it was a gutsy call.
He said it was a gutsy call?
Yeah.
Let's go to Radimus in Houston, our pal. What's going on, Radimus?
What's up, boys? How y'all doing today?
Great, Radimus.
What's happening down in Houston?
Hey, everything's good out here. You know, just nice and hot. Hey, boom, you jinxed it, man. You said it. I think you said it yesterday morning. Hey, you know, these quarterbacks are going to go ahead and try to do too much. They're going to try to push it. And that's exactly what Jalen Hurts did, man. All I needed was to bring it down. My boy can hit a 61-yard field goal.
Yeah,
that's all I needed.
Yeah.
That's all I needed. And, hey, last week, Gio, you didn't cut me off. I just forgot to say, because y'all talked about it a lot, about a bacon, egg, and cheese. Hey, I need mayo. If you don't put mayo, I don't want it, Boomer. I got your back.
Radimus, man, yeah. I tell you, yes, we've talked about this many times. Yeah. Boomer loves the mayo on the bacon, egg, and cheese.
Yes.
I respect you and Radimus, just not my thing.
Yeah, it's all right.
Not my thing. Man, I'm a hot sauce guy, if anything.
That could be something I could, you know, aggravate your gout.
Mayonnaise, I don't think so, actually. It's really, you know, there's certain things. Shellfish is a big one. Shellfish and beer. And I went for both of them at a wonderful restaurant in Garden City.
It's interesting that he just said about Jalen Hurts forcing the issue and always trying to make a play. And, you know, that's Will Levis. That's all these young quarterbacks. Caleb Williams, now they're all going through it. And the really, truly great quarterbacks understand what they can get away with and what they can't get away with. And it's okay to live to play another down without turning the football over. Mm. It's the turnovers that end up killing you. And you have to really, really be dialed in to understand that you can't make those turnovers. And that's why, you know, Brian Callahan, the head coach of the Titans, was going crazy on Will Levis, because that's 2 weeks in a row that he did a bonehead play that ended up costing his team the game.
Yeah.
Now they came at different points in the game, but still you can't play loose and free with the football. That's part of your responsibility as a quarterback. You know, when the game's on the line and you got to make some plays and you got to force the issue, that's one thing. Now, Jalen didn't need to do this last night. He could have done something else, and he didn't. He tried to force it down the field again, and he ended up with throwing an interception. Jesse Bates read it perfectly.
Let's go to Ronnie in Tom's River. What's up, Ronnie?
Boys, how are we today?
Good, Ronnie. What's up, man?
So, I don't know if you guys heard this. It was, like, really subtle, but Michelle Tafoya does the second quarter, catch-up when they throw it down to the field. Apparently, she interviews Saquon throughout the week. Did you hear what Saquon had to say through Michelle Tafoya? How he was mistreated in the Giants and how he put his body on the line. And, you know, he's happy he's in Philadelphia right now. He's just, it just rubs me the wrong way that this guy can't just shut up and just keep the Giants out of his mouth. Even when he called Daniel Jones after the first game, saying, oh, I called him because, you know, I just want to let him know everything's all right. He's just like, just those subtle jabs just got underneath my skin. And I'm just happy that, you know, Marash said it right. Have fun with his man boobs, the head coach's man boobs, Sirianni's man boobs, and Saquon Barkley's drops. I'm just really happy. I'm really happy that they can see that beautiful side of Saquon Barkley, because when the chips are all pushed in, you know he's going to fumble the ball away or he's going to have that costly drop. So, Philadelphia, have fun, baby.
You know, Ronnie, I also heard Saquon, when he was in front of the media, in his own words, say that there was no bad blood with the Giants. Like, people think there's some sort of bad blood. There isn't. I know what he's going to say if he's talking to somebody off the air or without a microphone in his face. Might be different than when a microphone is in his face. Some of the first words out of my mouth this morning, though, were like, we got to just forget about the Saquon Giants thing at this point. He's gone. It was the right move to let him go. They were a bad football team with him. You know, so far they've been a bad football team without him. The Giants have a lot bigger issues than a running back. So, I mean, it's like enough.
But I think it also gives you a perspective of how the player feels, you know, when, hey, I laid my body on a line for the Giants. Well, you know, you play a position where, you know, unfortunately, that's the position you play. You chose that position. What do you want me to do? That's,
yeah.
And we pay you to do a job. And, you know, quite frankly, you missed 24 games. When you did play, you were a good player for us. We paid you to be a good player for us. We made you a first-round draft pick, and that was our respect for you. When we did draft you, we said you were a gold jacket guy. And, you know, unfortunately, as you are a good player, you just haven't reached that level of consistency and sustainability. I mean, but this, again, it's, you know, football's a weird spot. This is where Hassan Reddick is falling into. Hmm. He's falling into, like, you know, wait a minute, you know, I'm 32 years old. I've been busting my ass. I want to get paid for it, and I don't trust these NFL owners, you know, not to pay me what I think I'm worth, and I want more guaranteed money, and I don't want to go out there and risk any injury. Well, I'm sorry, you signed a contract. You signed a contract, but you didn't sign it with the Jets. You haven't done anything for the Jets. The Jets don't owe you anything. All they owe you is the money that you had on your contract, assuming you were going to come and play, and if you really would have turned it up and you would have, say, 12 to 14 to 16 sacks, guess what? They would have given you a contract extension. It wasn't going to be an eight-year contract extension. Maybe they extend you for two more years. Because analytics tells them that guys your age don't last that long, and they're not going to give you guaranteed money when they have a really good idea that you may not be around in 2 years.
Yeah, and if you just would have showed up and worked hard and was at camp and everything else, he might have even gotten that contract before the season started.
I'm just telling you, as a former player, I understand. You feel like, okay, you laid your body on the line for the team, but the team pays you to do that.
Yeah, and this is the world the profession you chose.
So now, if you're Brock Purdy and you're Mr. Irrelevant and you're making $750,000 or $800,000 and you've given forth a $50 million performance over the last 2 years, yeah, I can understand being a little bit irked by that, but the rules say that San Francisco can't give you a contract until next year. That's what the rules say.
Mm-hmm.
He's not holding out. He's got to play by the rules.
Yep.
And he'll get a new contract next year, and hopefully it will reflect what he's already accomplished for the 49ers.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco's back with another sports update. What's up, Jerry?
Morning, brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And what was happening last night was Monday Night Football in Philadelphia between the Falcons and the Eagles. Eagles seemed to be in line for a win. And really, in the span of about 8 or 9 minutes of real time, disaster happened.
Hurts into a long count. He is rolling. He throws the football, and it's dropped! He put it into the hands of Barkley on the near sideline, and He dropped it.
Now, had he caught it, it would have been a first down with the clock running and 1:40 to go in the fourth quarter.
Game over.
And the game would have been over. They could have kneeled it out. Instead, they had to kick a field goal, and then you go the other way with the Falcons down six. Kirk Cousins engineers a beautiful drive.
Here's Cousins waving London to the far side. Takes a snap. Kirk looks, sails it. Drake there, caught! Touchdown Atlanta! Drake London! For the first time in 14 games, he stands in the end zone.
With what turned out to be the game winner. So that last call was Wes Durham on Falcons radio. The first one, Merrill Reese on Eagles radio. The Falcons would then pick off Jalen Hurts. It would be Jesse Bates that would do that. 22-21, Atlanta wins.
You know what? You know what? The thing is, like Vic Fangio is the coach, defense coordinator for Philadelphia. I mean, their defense was terrible. They couldn't get any pass rush whatsoever. Mm-mm.
Not much.
You know what I would do? I would just man up across the board, and I would double barrel blitz right up the middle against a guy like Kirk Cousins. He can't move. It's not like you're playing Kyler Murray back there. So dive over the guy, just totally, completely try to upset where he's standing. I mean, he was back there like it was 7-on-7. And for those people that don't know what 7-on-7 is, that's a portion of practice where the offensive and defensive linemen are not with you and you're just running routes against the secondary and linebackers of the defense, and there's no pass rush. And that's exactly what that was like.
It was
for
easy.
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
It was scary how easy it was.
Agreed.
Bring a corner blitz. Bring something.
Mm. Cousins wound up throwing for 241 and two touchdowns. Here was Raheem Morris really downplaying winning his first game as Falcons head coach.
You know, I'm pretty easygoing. I'm pretty steady. And I didn't come here to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, I was brought here to go out here and try to put us in a tough position to win championships, and that's what we want to do.
All right, so that's a good first one.
When I knocked in that eagle yesterday.
Yeah.
You guys were very excited. I was like, guys, you know, it's a scramble. If it's my ball, I'll be a little bit more excited.
But still, I mean, a holing out from 103 yards away, it's pretty good.
Oh, it was great, but, you know, we came in third.
Yeah.
If you ain't first, you're last. You made one more putt, for God's sake.
It is. I know. Probably would have won the thing.
Is that what you said to your Bengals when you left the Super Bowl?
I did. You ain't first
even
or last.
Even though you were AFC champions, didn't matter. You weren't first.
I mean, like, you want to win. If I win.
Of course you want to win. You did accomplish something,
you know,
though.
If we win, then, you know, maybe I'm not doing this.
That's very true.
Never know.
You could just
Phil Sims, he doesn't have to do this. He won two Super Bowls.
I heard him doing Balance of Nature.
Yeah, he's doing that.
Yeah, I heard that spot at the end. It was funny.
Promo code.
Yeah, it was like, use promo code, Phil.
But it was more like he was away.
Phil.
I know.
Recorded separately situation.
Yeah, 100%.
By the way, I do want to say thank you to Phil because he did send me an order of Balance of Nature.
Nice. Oh, nice.
He didn't forget about me. It's nice to know.
Did you use promo code?
No, I use promo code free.
Here was Cousins. That sure was a solid drive to take the lead.
We protected well. Guys were dialed in on their routes and made plays.
And you certainly wonder, you know, when you talk about having and thinking you can do it, why they would have felt so good about it in that spot. Here was Drake London.
It's just you gave us a chance, like you just said, an opportunity to go out there and win the game. And again, like you said, I know it's cliche, but all the way down to zero, that's when you're playing to. So we took advantage of that mistake, and we went out there and scored.
Referencing the Barkley drop, that was London on Westwood 1. Here was Jalen Hurts. I will go to Saquon again and again and again.
You know, I trust him every day of the week to make a play, just like everybody else. And so we'll be better from it.
And that sentiment was relayed to Barkley from Hurts himself.
Yeah, he said he's going to trust me every time in that situation. And that's why my guy's back, and I told him.
And so both teams now 1-1 through the first two games. All right, elsewhere from the NFL, you've got the Jets and the Patriots on Thursday. Jermaine Johnson will not play. Matter of fact, he's done for the year. He does have a ruptured Achilles. Now, in terms of the team itself, here's Rob Saleh. Thoughts on the offense so far?
It's a funny feeling in the sense that, you know, we recognize that we can be better, but we're still scoring. You know, it's back-to-back games with three touchdowns.
Holy crap, back-to-back games with three touchdowns for the Jets.
It's a big deal, man.
I know it is. It sure is. One of the reasons for it, the emergence of Braylon Allen.
Definite change of pace. I mean, he is a load and a very, very dense, heavy, heavy runner. And,
I thought he was going to say a heavy, heavy, dense load. But either way, he's been really good, as we know. Now, the Giants are in Cleveland on Sunday. Graham Gano is out a couple of weeks with a hamstring injury. Brian Daboll, the team is 0-2, but there was some good.
Yeah, I'd just say the offense in general, I thought, made very good improvements from week one to week two. You know, we stayed on track. We played in positive down and distances. We ran with the ball well.
Yeah, they just
didn't
Malik win.
Nabers had a great game until he dropped one.
Correct.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, he looks every bit the part of that high draft pick wide receiver. That's the great news for
Hard
the Giants.
To argue.
And that's something that they haven't had since Odell Beckham Jr. And now the other guys can be complementary players without having, you know, I guess the pressure of having to be the guy that makes the play, because Malik is supposedly that guy.
And now in terms of what others see, Kurt Warner on Westwood One, when they were talking about the league, who stood out to you on Sunday?
Daniel Jones, who didn't play very well in week one. I might argue he had one of the worst games in week one coming off that ACL injury, but I thought he played really, really well. And you know, when I watched
it, no, that's fine. He would go on to say he was in full control for the time he was out there. So at least some people are noticing. Now in Dallas, quite the admission from edge rusher Micah Parsons after the Cowboys got just hammered by the Saints. This was Micah on his podcast yesterday.
The effort was not there by all 11. It doesn't matter who plays well, who didn't play well. The effort by all 11 wasn't there. The basic fundamentals of the game of football was not there.
Other than that, it was great, though. So, yes.
I'll say it was great for Derek Carr, though. After last year's disaster in New Orleans and unfulfilled expectations, he's had two great games to start the season.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Very good start. And then you ever wonder how much celebrities listen to the radio station?
This radio station?
Yeah. radio station. So I'm going to bring you back several years when one Harris Allen was talking about the Cowboys and the way they played.
Well, Tony, it was the Alice Cowboys last night. No D. The Bears scored.
Okay, so you get the point.
Alice Cowboys. Ooh.
Well, yesterday, perhaps, I don't know, maybe Stephen A. Smith listens a lot and has in the past, or maybe one of his writers at ESPN.
I just pulled out a map, you know, and I was looking because somebody told me there was a city in Texas called Alice, Texas. Alice, Texas. I said, where is it? I never heard of it. And then I spotted it at AT&T Stadium yesterday. All you got to do is take the D off of Dallas, and there you got it. The Alice Cowboys.
I've always said Harris Allen and Stephen A. basically separated at birth, you know?
Yes.
It's a bit of a stretch, but I'm just having some fun with it. Tough start to the season for the Broncos. They're 0-2. Bo Nix, not mincing words, after the game Sunday on his struggles.
Bo, can you take us through the interception in the end zone?
Chop back, threw it to the other team.
Hey, that's a very succinct answer. I like that.
Yes, it is. Funny. Isaiah Pacheco of the Chiefs out about 6 weeks with an ankle injury. The Panthers benching quarterback Bryce Young in favor of Andy
Dalton. Did he have a broken fibula? Isaiah Pacheco?
Is that what it was? I thought it was a broken ankle.
I don't know. I thought it was fibula. I don't know.
I heard fibula. It was gout.
It is the fibula? Where's the fibula?
In the leg.
It runs from basically the knee to the ankle.
Right, Eddie?
Along with the
tibia. He's telling you.
It's a leg. It's a lower leg.
That's why people get hit by cars. They get a tib-fib fractures.
Yeah. Good job.
Thank you.
Like Eddie AI.
All right, Mets Nationals last night. The Mets down one in the eighth. They get the game-tying RBI single from Jose Iglesias. Then in the 10th with a runner on base.
See how aggressive Barnes is here with Marte on 3-1. And he drives one to left, and the Mets win the ball game. Bader comes in with the winning run. Starling Marte with a second opportunity drives in the game winner in the 10th, and the Mets win 2-1.
And that was Gary Cohen on SNY.
You know what's amazing? It's like, why does it take so long to score a run? Like, you know.
Because the pitcher's pretty good on the other side.
I mean, man, there's a couple of these games come down to the final innings. And how about Jose Iglesias, though? That's great, though. Because without Lindor, he's replacing Lindor, but coming up with big plays.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what I think. That's how I feel.
So and he then, alluded, Jose Iglesias, that is, that there was a very famous artist that was interested in doing a remix with him of Oh My God, you know, Candelita, OMG. And it seems like it's going to be Bad Bunny, who is one of the most popular Hispanic artists out there. I mean, we're talking a guy who sells out stadiums. And if that is the case, that is huge.
That would
for
be
Jose.
Great for him, man.
Absolutely. And Bad Bunny, I guess, was at a Mets game recently. And there's been a couple other hints that are in there. But that... And that song, as I mentioned, was the best song I ever heard an athlete write or sing or rap or whatever.
How it came out. Yeah,
it sounds so good.
And by the way, during my Eagle shot yesterday, that's what was playing.
Oh my God. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, I had OMG from Candelita.
You did. But I mean, that's how good that song is. And one of the most popular artists in the world when it comes to Hispanic pop is taking that song on and putting his stamp of approval on it.
Nice.
Which is
oh incredible. My God!
Good for him. We have a year.
Well, I don't even do it. I'm assuming I've heard a Bad Bunny song.
I don't know that I have.
You know, I don't know. I don't know.
They all have explicit language.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't take OMG and put explicit language in that?
Sure you can.
Oh, no. The OMG is not, but maybe the Bad Bunny version.
No, I know that, but I don't want Bad Bunny to ruin that version.
What is Bad Bunny's most streamed song?
It looks like it is Dakita? Dakiti?
Dakiti.
Dakiti.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
Is that a swear word?
It is. Oh, no. The song has swear words in them.
Yeah.
I think Dakiti is not.
Okay.
Well, here is Iglesias himself. He has been a big part of all of this, and he's having a blast.
You know, being the big league in general is special, but I think we got something good going. I'm just glad to be part of it. So one day at a time, I always say that, like one day at a time, and I'm going to maximize. I'm going to have as much as fun as I can every single day.
And he did finish the game.
Oh, my God. See, I'm just telling you, man, it's one game at a time. One at bat at a time.
That's all it can be.
But we got to start stringing some wins together here, man.
Yeah, they've been about 500 the last week or so.
Yeah, I know. We got to get back to that nine-game winning streak again.
They have a one-game lead on Atlanta, and the Diamondbacks lost last night, so you're only a game behind them for the second wild card.
Yeah,
so
right.
There's a lot still to go here in the last
week. I'm with
Al.
This damn season's so long. You should be over already.
Well, it's not, so.
Yeah. Al wants it over with.
Al doesn't want it to be played.
I just don't like coming in here every day and going, the Mets won, the Braves lost, and the next day, the Mets lost, the Braves won. Like, get it, let's move it along.
Yeah, let's get going here already. I'm with Al. I really am. I'm not usually with Al, but in this case, I'm with Al.
Well, unfortunately, you're going to lose on this one because they got a week and a half to go.
I know, they still
got
to play.
So you've got coming up tonight, they will continue the series with Tyler McGill making the start. The Braves, by the way, did lose to the Dodgers, and you got the Yankees in Seattle 9:40 first pitch against the Mariners.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. You know, Al Dukes likes to mix it up on social media occasionally, and I like sitting in the grandstands and watching it from afar. But I wanted to bring this one up. So, Al quote tweets a video of four dudes at the Bruce Springsteen concert in Asbury Park. And these four dudes are singing, and it's, was it Born to Run that they were singing?
Correct.
All right, so they're singing Born to Run, and they're doing a selfie video, and they're smiling, and they're singing, and they're having a good time. But, I mean, it's when I first saw it, it seemed lame to me, you know? That's just the kind of the vibe I got. And Al quote tweets this video and says, "For those asking why I didn't go see Springsteen in Asbury Park last night, this is why. Too many of these guys." All right. Now, would you like to see just this, what this looks like, so you have an idea? All right, here you go. I'm showing it to Boomer now. Couple of dudes singing. You got it. You got the gist of this.
I got it. You're having a good time.
Yeah, having a good time.
Al hates seeing people having a good time. That's what it is.
So
I have been accused of that, yes.
So, turns out that this guy who posted this, and Al didn't know at the time, works at SNY. So you just happen to stumble across this video for whatever reason, but this guy works at SNY.
It came up on my For You section because I was looking for clips from the Springsteen show. I want to see what was going on.
Yeah. So he responds, this guy, John Alba. And he says, I wasn't going to address this, but I'll just say this. Bruce Springsteen's music quite literally saved my life on May 22nd, 2022, when I wasn't sure if I wanted to live anymore. It's unfortunate some enjoy putting down someone else's happiness.
Oh, my God.
Especially when it's harmless.
Oh.
All right. Now, I'm sensitive to someone's issues, and if he was in that dark of a place at some point and he was able to get out of it, I am happy for him. However, to invoke that extreme part of your story and your life just because someone had an unsavory reaction to a video that you put out there in the social media space just seems a bit much to me, personally.
A bit much? It's ridiculous.
I guess
I could do that every time somebody said something negative about me. Ah, you suck, this, that, you, well, you know, I was going to kill myself yesterday, but thank them. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow now. I mean, I guess he's going through whatever back in 2022. I'm glad he's healthy now, and he's can go to a Springsteen concert and sing right. Like that at the top of his lungs. Great. That means he's got a newfound lease on life. But yeah, to do what he did there to make, I guess, how do you feel about that when you saw that?
Well, I just thought it was a odd response because
odd
had it been he could have.
Yeah, I mean, do you feel guilty about that?
Not really. Because,
I think that's what he's trying to do.
Yeah, he's trying to make me feel guilty. Yeah. I don't feel guilty about it. He wrote in the original thing, I can't believe I'm here at the Springsteen show. His songs literally saved my life in May of 2022. I probably wouldn't have responded to it.
Yes.
But no one knows that when you're doing a man selfie with all your other man friends singing along. That is why I didn't want to go to the show. There are too many people at these shows that make it all about them and their enjoyment, regardless of if you happen to be
around
them.
How it impacts somebody around them.
Correct.
Yes, yes. Very selfish.
Yeah, I like my music. I need to be very personal with my music. I don't like it around other fans.
Well, I mean, when you go to a concert, you do expect the fans to get involved, right? It's just like going to a football game or a baseball game or any game for that matter. And we've often talked about how we hate unruly fans around you when you're watching games.
Yes.
It's the same thing in regards to your concert experience.
Correct. Yes. People talking throughout. As soon as the slow song starts, everyone...
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's kind of... Everybody has something that happened in their life. Everybody has gone through something. And if you post something on social media and someone just... I mean, it's not like Al said, you loser, go jump off a bridge. Like, he didn't say that. He just said, I don't go to concerts because of dudes like this. That's all he wrote. So it's like, you know, I can't... I mean, you know, every one of us could bring something up in our lives. It was a dark time when someone says something to us on social media. You suck, you loser. You know, great pick of the Cowboys, you fat pig. Like, what am I going to write back? Like, you know, we went through years of infertility, and this person in my life had cancer. How could you tell me this? You know, like no, I'm not going to do that. You know, like, it seems crazy to me.
And it seems a little petty.
Right, it does. And, like, I don't want to be insensitive to his issue, and
By the way, we're not insensitive to his issue. We're taking issue with the way that he presented his issue in regard to what Al said. That's
right,
all we're
right,
doing.
Right, right, right. Exactly.
Nothing to do with his issue. It has everything with what he posted towards Al's take
right.
on that concert.
Well, his next tweet will be, I was bullied, and this is how I deal with bullies. And
yeah, so you're triggering him, Al. But let me ask you this question. You and Paul ever, you know, put up any man stuff on Instagram or anything?
No, we don't do man selfies, no.
No, you don't.
No.
Ever put any man stuff up on Instagram? Yeah, I don't see you being one of those man guys putting something up there.
No, I have not.
I mean, you usually
bitching and complaining about some restaurant or something.
Correct.
Or bitching and complaining about this particular situation.
Yes, if I had gone, I would have been complaining. Sure.
And then the beginning of social media, for sure, when you put things out there and maybe you're a public figure, like this guy is learning because he's just freshly on SNY. You know, it's like jarring to see someone say something negative. But like you learn very quickly that when you put something out there for everybody on that platform to see,
yeah,
not everybody's going to be nice.
I do remember at the beginning of social media, I would post a lot of the negative stuff that I would get.
Yeah.
So people would see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, you know, why am I amplifying people that I probably don't like anyway?
Yeah.
So I stopped doing that.
Right. I mean, every single person who's on social media, whether the most liked person, like just go through the Pope's mentions. Honestly, you want to feel better about yourself? Go through the Pope's mentions. Everybody. I mean, Tina Fey said it once. She goes, you ever start feeling good about yourself as a celebrity, just go and Google your name. Because there's someone out there that's going to be crapping all over you. So, like, just unfortunately, that's the world we live in, and you have to learn how to cope with it.
I was trying to think, did we take a man selfie yesterday? We didn't, did we?
We did not.
No.
Did not take a man selfie. Nope.
We don't really do that. I mean,
we don't. Very rarely. Very rarely.
And if we do take man selfies, we don't put them on social media.
You know what's funny is when we played on Saturday, golf.
I was not with you.
Right, you were not with me. There was the 24-year-old Tucker Wetmore. He's a Gen Z guy, right?
Okay, Gen Z guy, yeah.
So
the round selfies,
right? So the round ends. He's like, we got to get a picture. And I'm like, yeah, really? he's like, yeah. So he goes up to a guy, you know, we get a picture on 18. Then he says to the guy, hey, he's like, man, he's like, can you take it vertical so I can put it up on my story? You Gen Z. So I went to him like, dude, you are so Gen Z. He's like, not only do you want a picture.
Oh, there you go. There's our man selfie.
Yeah,
right,
it was
there.
The first
but
time.
But that was your first time ever on a golf course.
Right. And you were at West Saville and yes. We had our day chasers that day. Yes. Yes. But yeah, so I said to him, I was like, you're such the Gen Z guy because you wanted to take the picture. And on top of it, he's like, can you take it vertical so I can put up my story? And he did. So, I mean, I think it's just how old you are, you know, like it's just that's how people's brains work, you know, which is fine. I was happy to share it. It was nice. It was cool. Right. But none of us were thinking about it. Like you had a 57-year-old, a 42-year-old and a 38-year-old and then the 24-year-old. And the 24-year-old was like, I got to get it up on the story. So it's just the way, you know. It's a generational thing.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.